the wheel, light, electricity, the first computer, the internet. These discoveries changed our world, integral to the way our world functions. We like to think of these discoveries as eureka moments, the collision of accident, chance, and ingenuity. In actuality, these inventions came as a result of careful study and dedication. So why would we think fate be any different? We can't expect spiritual growth to be as easy as turning on a light bulb. After all, we have so many examples from the Bible. Moses, Elijah, even Jesus dedicated themselves to 40 days of fasting and drawing closer to God. What is it about this number 40? We see it so often in the Bible. When we dedicate ourselves to 40 days of prayer, of fasting, of growing in intimacy with God, maybe there is something to 40. The power of 40.
We're rolling on in our 40 days of prayer and fasting, but before I go further, I just want to say I love our altar and prayer time. Just a time where a family of God can pray together. In a lot of churches I see that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, one of the first things they cut out to make room for other areas is the prayer time and altar time. But I can tell you, we're not going to cut that out no matter how big we get, just because I believe that time is so special, and seeing people come up and having people come up and put hands on the backs or the shoulders, it's just an incredible, powerful moment. I just want to say thank you for being a praying congregation, because it really is making a difference. So we are in week 6. So if you're ready for the 40 days and 40 nights to be over, this prayer and fasting thing, we had Todd Steese, he came to me today and said, "So I have 1 week left." And I said, "Yep, at this time next week, you're going to have caffeine in your body again." Because he gave up caffeine and it's hitting him hard. But I can tell you this, I think God's going to do something incredible in your life if we can stay dedicated to these 40 days. And here we get to another passage in Jonah that involve 40 days and 40 nights. We're calling it dedication or disobedience. It really is our choice to be dedicated or disobey when God calls us. But let's pray before we go further. God, we thank you for this time. These words are yours. Let anybody who hears these words hear you and see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, I don't want to assume that all of you here today, listening online or watching in Sunbury, welcome in Sunbury, second service. So glad you decided to join us down there with Pastor Ryan. I hope, man, the worship time that you had down there was just as powerful as it was here. And you know what's so cool about God? God is in all locations, no matter what. So we felt him here at our Milton location, but I know if you're online or you're in Sunbury, I bet you felt him too. Our God is so great. But I don't wanna assume that when I say Jonah, all of you know who I'm talking about. So before we go further and study chapter 3 together today, I just want to tell you the Jonah of it all. So let's get to know Jonah. Jonah was a prophet, and he was a prophet used BC, about 300 years after King David, at about the 700s, 600s BC. But he was called to an Assyrian nation. And I want you to write a scripture passage down. It's 2 Kings 14:25. 2 Kings 14:25, because that brings us relevance to Jonah to date in the mid-700s BC, about 785 BC. The story of Jonah took place in an Assyrian nation of Nineveh. That means basically that it was non-Jewish, and Assyria back in those days were the powerhouse. And so Nineveh was a place where the capital city happened, where a lot of people went really to perform evil acts. They were just an incredibly evil nation. But scripture will tell us this in Jonah chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." So I've seen their wickedness. I know about this. Now, Jonah, you're going to go and tell them all the horrible things that they're doing, and they're going to be overthrown. They're going to be goners. Sayonara. Isn't that a message that we all want to go preach to certain nations? Isn't that something that you say, yeah, God, I'm all in. Let's go do it. Let's go judge these people together. Terrible, awful, evil people, mind you. Well, Jonah heard this calling on his life, and he ran. He said, yeah, God, sounds great, but you're not going to use me. So literally, he ran in the opposite direction. But while he was running, God was planning. Because don't you know that when God has a plan, when God has a purpose, it will get accomplished no matter of our disobedience. The only thing we need to lean into is if God wants to use me to accomplish his mission, no matter what I think about this mission, I need to obey. But Jonah didn't obey, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. This was actually in the opposite direction of where Nineveh was. And so he hopped on a boat, and if you don't know, a big storm came, and they're like, what is this going on? What did we do? God is angry at us. What's going on? And then Jonah said, yeah, I'm kind of running from God right now. And so, you know, after a while, they cast lots. All right, Jonah, you're going overboard. And so they threw Jonah overboard, and God had a big old fish planned and swallowed Jonah. And for 3 days, he lived inside and thought about what he had done with disobeying God. And then God spat him back out. Because Jonah ran, he wanted judgment for this Assyrian nation. Because they didn't deserve God's forgiveness. They deserved to be punished. They deserved to be destroyed. And so why would you send me to go warn them of a destruction? Just destroy them. They deserve it. So he wanted judgment, God wanted forgiveness. In Jonah chapter 4, if we fast forward after chapter 3, after God delivered the Ninevites, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. This deliverance, this forgiveness of God, this seemed very wrong, and he actually became angry with God. You told me to preach that in 40 days, Nineveh was going to be destroyed and overthrown, and here we are 40 days, they're not overthrown, they're not overtaken, but they're forgiven. And they're going to go forward. Jonah didn't like that very much, but it sets the tone for us all. When we look at people, when we look at situations, when we look at certain things and we say, they deserve judgment, or they're too far gone, they don't maybe deserve the love of God. I know here at Christ Wesleyan, we don't think like that, right? Everybody deserves love. But isn't it really easy for us to judge when that's not our job? Our job isn't to judge, our job is to teach and to love people so that the Holy Spirit can get a hold of them and they accept this message of Jesus. But don't worry, Jonah was in the same boat as some of us, and we think, man, Lord, come soon. You know, this evil, please just destroy us all. Right? We deserve to be destroyed. But guess what? We're here for a reason. You know, when Jesus said that he's coming soon, soon actually means without unnecessary delay. So the fact that we're still here, there's purpose behind this, that there's more people who need to hear the good news of the gospel. Maybe that's why God hasn't come yet. So be careful how you pray. Don't pray, oh God, come back. Just say, God, how can you use me before you do come back? Don't be angry. Jonah's ministry here in Nineveh. So if we unpack this, we see that Jonah's ministry here in chapter 3 is a second chance. God gives second chances. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a what? Yeah, second time. We just read the first time, and he said, I don't think so, God. But this time, it's like, what isn't here, maybe God saying, hey, do I have your attention, Jonah? I just saved you from a big old fish. You could have died, but for 3 days, I kept you alive for this reason. Do I have your attention? Don't you know that sometimes God can bring attention? Maybe that when we forget who God is, or we might be running in a different direction that God might have for us, he can allow things to happen in our life that may to us seem unfair or not good or not understanding. Maybe those moments are allowed in our life to get us to turn in the other direction, to go towards God's calling and not go away from God's calling. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it the message I give you. And it's interesting, if you look at this, this is future tense, not past tense. So the first time that God called Jonah, he gave him a specific message to preach. Preach against it. Preach destruction. But now, in this calling, it's the message I give you. It's the message I will give you. So all I want you to do is just go. When you get there, I will give you the message. That's so important for us to realize, not to get ahead of God, but maybe God tells us too much, but I'm running ahead of myself in this sermon. There was this new beginning in Jonah's life. God is saying, hey, all right, that's over with. That's done. Now that I have your attention, there's this new beginning. I'm so thankful for a new beginning because I've been a Christian my whole life. I grew up in the church. I was saved at a very young age. I was baptized as a teenager. I knew the way of the Lord, but then I got to college and I kind of was one of those wayward son people. I still believed in God, but I was doing things that probably weren't the best things to be doing. And I remember this moment, I put myself in a situation at a party, and I remember just being outside near a fence on the ground and just being in the state of mind, like, what am I doing here? And then I said, God, if you get me out of here alive, I will never be in this state again, and I will turn and I will follow you better with my life. And then next thing I know, I woke up and I was home, and I said, that's the last time that I'm going to let that situation happen. And that really was the last time that that situation happened in my life. And I saw God to get this new beginning in my life. I hate that sometimes those things need to happen to us, that we need to get so low. It's like, man, let's just obey here so we don't have to go here. But a lot of times here in the low, that's where God gets our attention, in the valley, to get us out. I don't like the valley. I don't like that we have to go there, but because of sin and the flesh and the decisions that we make, sometimes we put ourselves in that situation. But I'm so glad that God is in the valley with us and wants to pull us out. If we can lean into those moments and be pulled out, he will get us a new beginning like he gave Jonah here. But there was this command to go there and wait. It's the message I will give you. I love this quote here by David Guzik. The story of Jonah demonstrates why God so often leads us one step at a time without telling us more. Don't you just, you don't like that about God sometimes? It's like, God, why don't you tell us how this situation is going to go here? Yeah, I'll take the step if I know at the bottom this is where I'm going to end up. But God doesn't work that way sometimes. I was just telling some of the staff, a couple of the staff members, and I was telling Nikki that when I read a book, a fiction book, or when I binge watch a series on Netflix, the fictional stories, I will always go, and I did this to a series that Nikki and I are watching, I went online and I Googled how all the characters would turn out. And the story, how is this gonna end? And I do it to books too. I always read the last chapter, and then I go through, and like First Service, your reaction is, you don't like that. That might make you feel uncomfortable. My wife is with you. She doesn't like that. But I know what is going to happen. Why? Because when I know the ending, or I know how a character turns out, it allows me to enjoy the journey better. Because I don't have to wonder, are they going to be around for the next season? Are they going to be around by the time I get to this book? Is anybody with me on this? Does anybody else do this? Thank you. I'm not alone. But I think we're in the minority, Jack. I think we really are. But that's sometimes what makes it so hard when we're following Jesus, when we give our life over to Jesus. We want God to tell us more. When we go into a situation and we're taking a step of faith, we want to say, okay, where is this going to lead me? And God is saying, listen, it doesn't matter where it's going to lead you. I will take care of that. All you need to do is obey in this moment right now, today, to take a step forward and trust me with how it's going to end. Because a lot of times, if we do know how it ends, there's something we may miss in the middle. And I do take that into consideration in my life, but I won't take it into consideration with Netflix series or my books anymore. I will always want to know the end. And Nikki's like, how do you live? You know? And I was like, listen, this is how. I know the end. I've read the end of the Bible. I know how things are going to end. I know either Jesus is going to come back or I'm going to be taken out of this earth and I'm going to be living with Jesus forever. But because I know that, I can enjoy life better. Because, yeah, I may not know exactly how I may go, but when I do go, I know the end result. So in a way, we all kind of do know the end. So let's quit freaking out about life right now, right? There might be a lot to be freaked out about, but at the end of the day, for us believers, we have a higher hope. We have a higher calling. We know how things end, and we know for eternity, God is going to take care of us in his presence. I think that can get us through some of these moments that we think are so horrible. Jonah's message to Nineveh was this: you have 40 days, Nineveh. You have 40 days and you will be destroyed. Here's what scripture tells us, like we read earlier. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. In fact, it was so large, it had 1,500 towers around it. 1,500 watchtowers around it. It had an inner and an outer wall. In fact, the top of the wall surrounding the city, where it was so wide that they could hold a 3-wide chariot race all the way around it. So this was a massive city. This is massive influence back in the day of Jonah. It took 3 days to go through it, to walk through it, 3 days. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city. So he's about halfway through the city before he started proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, when the people heard this word overthrown in Aramaic, that is the same word used when they heard Sodom and Gomorrah and how Sodom and Gomorrah were overthrown, were destroyed. That same word is used here in Jonah. So the Ninevites would have known about Sodom and Gomorrah, the utter devastation that happened. And so it was that serious. They knew how serious it was. And Jonah wasn't like, hey, 40 more days, you have 40 days to repent. Now, could he have preached that outside of what isn't in scripture? Possibly, but we don't see that here. He just said, 40 more days, and you'll be overthrown. Maybe that's why in chapter 4 he was so mad that said, hey, listen, I prophesied that in 40 more days this city would be out. You're making me into a liar, God. But God was saying, no, because I'm in control here. You need to trust who I am. So when Nineveh heard this, they took it very, very seriously. They preached with earnestness. Jonah preached with earnestness. Now, why didn't God, after Jonah completely disobeyed him earlier in Jonah, why didn't God just choose another prophet? There were other prophets in town, in the area there. Why didn't he call somebody else? Why did it have to be Jonah? That's what I asked myself. Why go through all the lengths of 3 days? And that's actually symbolic, and we're going to find that out a little bit later in the sermon. But I believe it's this, because Jonah was the one, the only one in that day that the Ninevites were going to listen to, because he preached with this earnestness. And I love this quote from Clark. The way Jonah preached was in between the soft-speaking, gentle-toned, unmoving, and the noisy, blustering, screaming rant that manifests more of a turbulence of disorderly passions than of the real inspired influence of the Spirit of God. So it was somewhere in between the crazy rant person and the one who is so silent and unmoving that they don't say the right words. They just say, okay, that's a nice story. That's cute. But there was somewhere in between where it caused the people such a disturbance that they wanted to turn from God. And so Jonah, for whatever reason, maybe his reputation was good, maybe just the way he spoke, that's the way the people wanted to hear. But it also tells this: there are some situations in your life where you're the only ones that are being called to affect that situation. And if you disobey, God may bring something into your life to turn you the other way, but sometimes people don't even listen to that. And then therefore, the purpose and calling that God has on your life is missed. And so we need to pay attention. We should obey the first time. We should be in tune with the Spirit the first time to say yes, But when we say no, and God, really, you need to be the one here, he may bring something in your life, and if you're not in the right space, that situation may destroy you and keep you from what God wants from you. And Satan would love that to happen. So in those moments, if you're going through something, if you just feel like things are happening in your life that just doesn't make sense, ask God, what are you wanting to teach me here? Did I miss something? Am I not where I'm supposed to be here? If not, guide me into that direction, because sometimes you're the only one in somebody's life that they need to hear from. Now, the response to Jonah's obedience here, here's the response. Nineveh repented. There was this response of repentance. And yet, you're not going to read in Jonah that Nineveh repented. You're not going to hear that exact word. But repentance is more than a word. Repentance is something that we do, that we make sure we're deciding to have in our life. And we see this from Nineveh in these ways. They believed God. Just like if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? You'll be saved. But there's this belief that needs to happen. In fact, belief is where we need to start. Scripture says it like this, and these four words are so awesome. The Ninevites believed God. What doesn't it say? The Ninevites believed who? Jonah. Because Jonah was the one to get the message from God. Jonah was the one, the mouthpiece used by God to tell the Ninevites this message. But who did the Ninevites hear? God, not Jonah. So they believed God through the message of Jonah. Doesn't that relate to us? Is that when we speak, when we teach, when I'm up here preaching, my prayer every week is that you wouldn't see me, that I would get out of the way, but that you would see and hear from God, because God is the one who needs to be motivating you to answer the call on your life, not me. He can use us, but if those people see us, it's not as effective as if they see God through us. Every single one of us, whatever platform God has given you, your message needs to be preached so that they're believing God beyond you and not you. I love how that preaches right there. They didn't believe Jonah, they believed God. And so as they believed, they now proclaimed a nationwide fast. And this is fascinating. A fast was proclaimed in all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. So the king, the non-Jewish king, the Assyrian king, believed God as well through Jonah. So much so that he stripped himself of all of his privileges, put on sackcloth, which we learned in Nehemiah, that sackcloth represented what? Just an utter dependence and humility and a reverence that said, listen, I'm sorry. I'm going to clothe myself in humility and just, I'm going to turn to you, God, to say, we need help. And so the king was dressed in sackcloth. The people, great and small, were dressed in sackcloth. Even the animals were dressed in sackcloth. Even the animals couldn't eat or drink. Now, Mookie, my cat, woke me up this morning because she was hungry. Again, she always does, whines and whines and whines. Now, if I were to say, I can't feed you, there's been a mandate here. And I got to try to put this sackcloth on you, which in itself would be a challenge. And you're not going to eat for 40 days. Sorry. You know, that's maybe a little bit extreme, but this is, in essence, the scene here. Animals people, children, all dressed in sackcloth, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, saying, listen, this can't happen. We're gonna get this right. And so they cried out, they believed God. There was a decree in all the land. There was this fast throughout all the land. And then the people cried out, let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. And then they turned to God. So the image is when you turn to God, you turn away from your sin automatically. And so if our focus is God and turning to God, we're automatically in our life going to be turning from our sin, because we can't serve one and the other. It's either or. So if we're turned towards our sin and our fleshly desires, then we can't be turned towards God. So they decided, we're going to turn towards God. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Can you imagine Americans, somebody proclaiming destruction upon America, and that reaching the head office of the United States, the president of the United States, whoever it is during that moment, and the president mandated everybody wear sackcloth, pray and fast for 40 days because we need to get back to God. Now, that's pretty wishful thinking, right? But you look here in America and what is happening and how evil is happening, violence is happening, division is happening. There needs to be something done, because if we keep going with the way we're going, we might get to this moment where, man, we need to wake up. And I pray every day that Washington wakes up with us so that things can happen in our country, so that we don't lose our country, that we don't lose the prosperity of our country. And I believe since God is in charge, he's the one that gives us prosperity always. We just need to be obedient. We need to be an obedient nation. And who knows, God may relent his fierce anger so that we will not perish. This is Jesus. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. Believers, this is the promise that we have. We don't need to perish because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're not a believer, you don't have to perish either. God wants forgiveness. God wants forgiveness from you. All you need to do is turn towards God, and he will clean you up and he'll get you on track so that you don't perish. Here's God's response to this repentance. One, he ended up relenting. He ended up not destroying Nineveh. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented, did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But this was a delay in the judgment. You're not going to see this in this text, but if you would read Nahum, this is what Nahum 1:3 says. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. If you go to Nahum and you read Nahum, this is about 100 years after Jonah. After God didn't destroy Nineveh, you fast forward 100 years to the mid-600 BCs, and you're going to get to Nahum, where God told Nahum, go tell Nineveh, this is what's going to happen. I may be slow to anger, but I gave them 100 years. And what has Nineveh done with 100 years? They went back to their sin. Yeah, yay, great revival, but it didn't last. And so Nahum comes along, and we find out that in the mid-600s that Nineveh was destroyed. And there was a little boy who came up to me after service, first service, and said, how was Nineveh destroyed? And I was like, oh yeah, I didn't say that. He's like, did a rain come? Did a flood come and it just destroyed? I said, that is a very, very astute question that you would have during the sermon. I said, no, actually, people called the Medes. They came and they destroyed Nineveh completely. And the Babylonians then took over and oppressed them even more. And the city literally was destroyed, like Sodom and Gomorrah. It was destroyed, Nineveh was. It was destroyed by the Medes, the enemies of Assyria, but then Assyria literally was crushed, and the Babylonians then took control. That's actually history. That's not just the Bible. Don't you love how the Bible can be trusted? Even the Old Testament can be trusted with historical evidence that we can bring validity to what we believe as Christians, validity to the Word of God when history backs it up. Because history will tell you in the mid-600s, this place called Nineveh was completely destroyed. And that's what's prophesied here in Nahum. So what is our response? If you're in Sunbury, Pastor Ryan's going to take you the rest of the way. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. But what is our response to the story of Jonah? First of all, it's belief. Do you believe that Jonah happened? Or do you believe it's just a nice story? Because as believers, probably most of us would say, yeah, we trust that Jonah really happened. Here's why we trust that. He answered, he being Jesus. So now we're in the New Testament. A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here, and this is the message of Jesus, which means we need to repent because the message of Jesus. But what this also tells us is we need to believe that Jonah really happened. If you don't believe Jonah happened, you can't believe that the resurrection happened. Because Jesus gives us the example of just like Jonah was 3 days, I will be also at the heart of the earth. So Jesus is verifying Jonah here. Jonah isn't just a nice fairy tale story that we tell our kids and it's nice and draw on their walls of a whale. This was a true story. It really happened. If you believe the resurrection of Jesus, which if you're a Christian, you need to believe that, then you also have to believe in this message of Jonah. We are all Nineveh. At one time in our life, we are all Nineveh, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all in that same boat. There was a moment in our life where we need to say, Jesus, we need you. And most of you listening have had this moment where we've turned from our sins, we've accepted this message of Jesus, but we all have a Nineveh or two in our life as well, where God is calling you to preach and teach the truth to Nineveh. And in fact, I mentioned after first service to some people, I could probably give a message comparing how America stands up to Nineveh. I could probably do that message because there's a lot of similarities with this great nation and how we've fallen from God and given over to evil ways. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't matter race. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter how evil people are. God calls us to everybody and every nation. When we want to see judgment, God wants us to teach forgiveness because that's who he is. Judgment will happen, but judgment has not happened yet until Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead. Our job is not to judge. Our job is to teach truth of who Jesus is so that they can be entered into this family of God so that when we perish, when we die, we don't have to be dead forever. We can live forever. So where is your Nineveh? Who is your Nineveh in your life? And who do you need to start speaking truth to? We need to pray for a revival in our nation. And up to this point, I've kind of held back on what I really want to say and what this scripture teaches us. You've heard the names Billy Graham. Some of you maybe heard of Billy Graham. Maybe some of you have even heard of Billy Sunday. If you back up into the early 1900s, Billy Sunday led revivals. Billy Graham did the same thing. Billy Graham's LA crusade was over 70 years ago. already. We've come 70 years since really the last revival in this nation. Now remember, God is slow to anger. He gave Nineveh 100 years after repentance, after a revival. Well, America, we're there. And I don't know if President Biden, you can see this message. I don't know if somebody has contact with him, but send him this. President Biden, we need to return to God and quit our evil ways. And let me tell you this. I don't care who is in office. I don't care who the president is. It's the same message. That we need to get back. We need a revival, church. And guess who starts revivals? We do. We start revivals. In fact, the greatest revivals happen from you, people like you in this congregation who are willing to stand up. Revivals happen, if you go back, when nations are in moral declines, when societies are in moral declines, that's when the greatest revival happens. So Christians, quit spreading anything but hope in this nation. Quit. We're fine. We know who God is. We know the ending. But for this country to get to a country where I want Brinkley to grow up in and someday be a part of, we need a revival. It's been over 70 years. God gave Nineveh 100. Do the math. Maybe, just maybe. I'm not a prophet. I don't consider myself like prophecy thrown out that it's going to happen. But what I'm saying is if something doesn't happen, we will possibly destroy ourselves and become just another Nineveh in the grand scheme of history, unless something is done, unless you're willing to lead a revival in this country. It's needed. Whoever is hearing this right now, a revival is needed, or we are going to lose the country for good, and God will cause a destruction in this land. And I don't think it's too far off. That's just my personal opinion. Because you're seeing this decline. You're seeing these evil things happening that are being taught that are okay when they're not okay. But we as believers, there's enough of us. We could stand up for truth. We need to stand for truth, even though it's unpopular. It's going to happen. I've just resigned myself to the fact that what I'm preaching right now is dangerous. But that's okay because God loves us. He loves me. He's going to take care of me. I know the end. I know it's going to happen. But Christians, if it doesn't start with us, who's going to lead a revival? I don't know. Could a revival happen from Milton, Pennsylvania? I don't know. But what we got to do is we got to respond somehow. We're going to respond and we're going to sing together. We're going to sing the words, "Here I am. Here I am. Take all of me. Here I am." Let's all stand together. We can stand and clap here in this room. That's easy to do, but it's harder to do out there, right? It's harder to do out there, but we need to keep praying. Keep getting on your knees for tough situations, for tough family members that just don't believe right now, but keep getting on your knees. Keep being in their life. Keep spreading love. God's going to do something amazing. We don't have to succumb to evil. We can overcome it, but only through the power of Jesus Christ, only through his love. Let's all sing together, "Here I Am," as we exit, before we exit today. Let's all sing this together.
Here I am.
Come on.
Here I am. Yeah. Yes, Lord, I am available, Jesus.
Yes, Father, thank you. Thank you that all we need to do is be available, and your Holy Spirit will come inside of us, and you will just give us the love and the grace and the patience, the self-control that we need to exude your love to this world. Father, I pray for this country. I pray for the powerhouse that we are, but I pray that we would be sending the message to the world that would be better than what we're sending right now. But Father, we need a divine intervention to make that happen. And if you want to use us, but help us to be available enough to answer the call that you can use us. Father, we love you. We thank you. As we go from this place, I pray that we would be filled up and that we wouldn't lose the fire, that your presence would go out to us, out from us today, that this world will truly see you and not us. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, thank you so much, church. Hey, I hope all of you come back. Maybe some of you won't, but hey, I hope you come back next week because God's gonna continue to do something. If you're online, please come back. We thank you. Go have a blessed and crazy awesome week.
Church Online, man, have we got some exciting news for you. We are in the midst of 40 days in prayer and fasting, continue to give things up in our own lives so that we can replace that with seeking the Lord and really interceding on behalf of others and their relationship that God wants to have with them. So our prayer is that we're going to continue to get to celebrate salvation stories. If you've led someone to Christ or if you've placed your faith in Jesus, we want to celebrate that. That's our focus, that's our goal, that's our mission. And so we're in the midst of 40 days in prayer and fasting doing that. We want to let you know about a couple things that are coming up. And the first thing is Trunk or Treat. It will be super sweet on October 29th at 6:30 p.m. It will be additionally sweet. Why is that, Pastor Mandy?
Yeah, we would love to get you all involved in the candy donations, and how we're going to do that this year is we have a little competition happening. The pastor that receives the most candy donations will get a sweet treat in the face.
And it won't pie be in the face.
Pie in the face.
You do not want to miss that. That's going to happen. We're going to celebrate that the weekend before Trunk or Treat happens.
We're actually going to do it after.
Oh, man. It's going to happen on October 31st.
Yes.
Family Worship Sunday. We will pie a pastor in the face. And actually, it's going to happen twice because we've got two morning services. So one lucky winner will have a face full of whipped cream twice.
Yeah, not me. So think about that, Pastor. But more importantly, the reason why we donate candy is because this event reaches so many people throughout our community and even far-reaching. And it just takes that burden off of us. And so we're able to give even more candy to these little ones coming through.
Yeah, and our heart really, in the midst of having fun, is to reach people for Jesus. And Trunk or Treat is a fantastic way where people come out of the woodwork to walk through our parking lot and get some candy so that we can share information about who Jesus is, as well as bring people onto the church campus that might not ever step foot on church campus. And so we've seen people in years past that because of Trunk or Treat, they've come to church the following weekend or weekends after. And so we just want to let you know that's the heart behind what we do. And part of the fun in the process is going to be someone gets a pie in the face.
Amen.
Also happening in the weeks coming up after Trunk or Treat will be one, poinsettia orders, not poinsettia. That's a note for me. Poinsettia orders, which are white or red, I learned, and can live up to 2 years. So if you get one this year, you might be good until 2023.
Wow.
So, man, long-term investment. You can order poinsettias coming up in the weekends at the end of October into the beginning of November, as well as our food pantry is an incredible ministry that God is just blowing the doors off of. Food Pantry is going to be collecting donations for Thanksgiving turkey. So if you want to partner with our food pantry and give financially towards the turkeys that will go to families that need the most, you can do that by dropping a gift off at the hub or by stopping by the church offices during the week and with a designation for the CWC Food Pantry. And that would be such a blessing to our community.
Yeah, there's so many ways to bless our community coming up that you can get involved and the kids can get involved and the entire family.
Yeah, you're going to be hearing more information about how you can do that with our children's ministry and Operation Christmas Child in the coming weeks, so don't miss that. And we want to make sure that we can all continue to grow together. A couple things, speaking of growing together, CWC midweek, what day does that happen on?
That happens on Wednesdays and dinner starts at 5:15.
Wow. So we don't have to cook.
Oh, no.
Someone else does.
My favorite night of the week.
Wow. And how does that all happen?
So you can register online. You can also sign up right at the table when you show up for dinner for the following week. But it's $3 a person, and it's no more than $15 for a family of five or more, like myself.
There you go. And $3 includes your meal,
yeah,
a dessert, and some water or soda or some canned drink, and you can enjoy that in the cafeteria. And then you can go to something for every age and stage. You don't want to miss it, no matter what age or stage you are. If you have children, if you don't, men, women, married, singles, children, youth, adults, it's all there, starting at 5:15 with a meal and then content beginning at 6:30 going to about 8 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. One of those things specifically is Dive Deep Live. And during that,
yeah, it's an opportunity for you to actually sit in a smaller setting than the sermon on a Sunday morning and be live with the pastor who preached that sermon. And so they go deeper into the sermon. You're able to ask questions, kind of bounce it off of each other and fellowship with those that are in that group.
Yeah, our heart is to equip the body of believers so we can continue to grow in maturity and unity under Jesus Christ, who is our head. So any way we can do that, we want you to be involved. As always, if you've got any questions, we want to let you know that CWC.life is the digital one-stop shop, as well as the QR code where you can scan that for next steps, attendance, giving, prayer requests, and sharing how you've shared your faith in Christ or come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It doesn't stop with that. We want to continue our whole life long through eternity, praising His name. God bless you. It's good to see you.